on there. Right, let's hope that's better. So it's foundational in terms of where we're going, and it's to give you an idea of where we're going and what we're looking for in terms of leadership and what we're doing as Grace Church going forward. So if you haven't heard last week's, we're playing around with the new website, so it'll be on there soon. It's good to listen to both. But today what I want to do is focus on character. Now, the good thing about this is, while this it does apply to leadership, it actually applies to all of us, because character and our character development is something for us all. And the Bible is very specific about our character. And in fact, it's more specific about character in leadership than it is about gifting. That's not that gifting is not important, but actually the Bible's very specific about that. And then what I want to do is put that into the context of our discipleship, of our following of Jesus. And so what we're going to do is, that's this bit, the introduction. I'm going to look at character, the fruit, the qualified, the servant, and then we're going to look at the fact that it's all about God. That actually all the stuff we're looking at here is all about God, and that will become clear as we go on with that. This morning, I was looking at Twitter. For those of you who are fans of Twitter, you'll know what I mean. If you're not, it doesn't matter. But I was reading something that one of the leaders of the Catford Church, a guy called Steve Tibbett, put up on Twitter this morning. And he put this: a man's gifting may open opportunities for him that his character... A man's gifting may open opportunities for him that his character cannot sustain. This is the reason we're looking at character, because while gifting can mean you can do something, it's character that says how you do it and sustains it and means it's done in the right way. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic timing that he should put that up there this morning. So I sent him a message saying, thanks for that, I'll use that this afternoon. That was good. So as we look at character, we're going to look at this passage first. We're going to look at the fruit. So let me read. This is Galatians 5, 22 to 26, if you want to look it up. But it is on there as well. It says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. What I want to do is start from the very basics. You see, this applies to all of us. We are all called to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. That as we grow and mature as disciples, we should be displaying these qualities in greater and greater measure. Now, if that's the case for all of us, that's certainly the case for those called to leadership. They should be demonstrating this and displaying this. Now, the important thing to notice is that whether you're a leader or whoever you are, you're not going to be 100% there. You are not going to have all this fruit, to be displaying all this fruit 100% perfectly all the time. We are a work in progress. And we have to acknowledge that as we look at this. We have to know that this is about development. This is how my character develops. This is how I develop. This is not about, this is what I have to be right now. So it's important to remember that. So we would expect us all to be growing in these things. We would certainly expect someone in leadership to do that. Now, I'm not going to look at the individual things labelled there. What I'm going to do is look at it as a whole and say, well, if I'm supposed to grow in these things, how do I grow? What do I need to do to grow? Now, I wouldn't describe myself as a keen gardener particularly, but I do like to grow some fruit and veg. And it's getting to that time of year when I've got to dig my garden over and get it all ready and then plant seeds. And I've got seed trays and I've got my seeds planted and they're all in a little plastic thing that keeps them warm and nice and happy, and hopefully they'll start to grow. The thing is, they won't grow if I just leave them there. I could put them in there and leave them and I will have nothing but little trays of compost for the rest of the year. I need to tend to them. I'm going to have to water them. I'm going to have to feed them. And when I plant them out into the end of the garden where I've got some space for them, I'll have to do some weeding. I've got to look after them. And our growth is very similar to that. We have to tend to our lives. Our Christian life is not about making a decision and saying, I am going to follow Jesus, and then that's it, for nothing else to happen. It doesn't work that way. You see, that's not what it's all about. We are like those seeds. We need to tend to our lives. We need to do some things. So if we're a disciple of Jesus, which is what the New Testament calls us to be, then we need to do something. We need to do some weeding and some watering and some feeding. We need to feed on the Word. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to be getting sustenance and nourishment from that, just like seeds do from fertilizer. We need to be constantly watered. And the Bible often pictures the Holy Spirit as water, streams of living water. And actually, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit day after day after day and be asking to be filled with the Spirit every day if we are to be watered and healthy and be growing as disciples. And then there's the weeding. The weeding is very important, because what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit provokes us and convicts us of the things that we're falling short in, the things that we're not getting right. And those things are like weeds. In fact, the Bible, there's a parable that talks about weeds choking the plants. And actually, if there are things we are doing that are not in line with the Scripture, then those things are like weeds and they are going to choke our growth. They're going to stop us from growing. So we need to be active in our gardening and tending to our lives with the weeding and the watering. And then we change. Now, this is not about just trying harder to be a better Christian or a better leader. And I'm going to address that in more detail later. But this is not about trying harder. But this is about being active in our following of Jesus. So that's the fruit. Then we come to the qualified. And let me read this to you. This is a passage on deacons. Now, last week we talked about what a deacon was, or the deaconing role. And that's someone who has had authority to lead or serve in a particular area, given that authority given to them and delegated to them by the elders of the church. And that's what we summed up a deacon as being. So 1 Timothy, this is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderous, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith, that is, in Christ Jesus. Now, with this passage here, what I want to do is, because this is very specific about those serving in this role as delegated by the elders, but also there are good character aspects in there that it's actually good for all of us to look at and to aim for. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to go through all the individual bits in there. I want to pick out two specifics and then go for one thing generally. The first thing I want to clear up is verse 11. Their wives likewise. You see, if you read it like that, what it sounds like is this role is for married men. It can look like that from first reading. But I want to argue that it's not. You see, that translated as their wives can also be translated as women. So women likewise. So it would read, women likewise must be dignified. So what it's saying here is not that this is just for married men, it's just giving some further instruction for those women who are called to this role. Now, obviously, you can't take that as just one thing. You've got to be able to back that up. Now, when you look at the passage a little earlier in Timothy on elders, elders are not called to, or rather, it doesn't say with the eldership part, their wives likewise. Now, elders are called to responsibility in the church that others are not. So it would be strange to see deacons called to a higher standard of qualification than elders. Whereas elders, it doesn't address the elder's wife, whereas this seems to address the deacon's wife. So it would make the qualification for being a deacon higher than that of being an elder, and it's the elder that's carrying more responsibility. Again, remember from last week, no hierarchy. It's not about saying, well, that's there and that's there, elders are here. What we're saying is it's different. It's just different responsibility, but the elder carries more responsibility before God. And so we have to be careful how we look at this and interpret this, because it can be used to say this is just for men. And actually, it's not. It's for women too. And so that deaconing role, that role of delegated leadership, is available to women too. Now, we wouldn't say the same of eldership. We'd say that was male. But for this, it's both. More can be said on that, but I'll leave it at that bit there. The other part that I want to just draw out of this is in verse 10, where it talks about, it says, and let them also be tested. Okay, this is not about sitting an exam or being asked questions. You've got to get the right and then you can serve in this area. Okay, it's not like that. It's not like that. What we would do here is say, actually what this is, it's about being seen to be doing a role and then being recognised for it. Or being seen to have the ability to do that role and then being publicly recognised for it. You see, it's often very easy, I suppose, to say, right, we're going to have this person doing this and appoint them in front of everybody really publicly. And then what happens if, it doesn't quite work out? It's really hard then to have to stand up in front of everybody, and I've seen this happen, and say, it didn't work out, we're asking them to step down from that. It's just awkward. Actually, that's why it says here, let them have a go first, is what this is saying. Let them show themselves to be the right person for the role. And then if there's a public appointment necessary, if there's public recognition necessary after that, then great, do it. Because you know that's safe for you, and it's safe for everybody, and especially for the person who's leading in that area. Also, it's good for people just to serve in that way and to serve without that public recognition because, hey, after all, that's not what it's about, is it? It's about serving. It's about that servant-heartedness, which we'll look at in a moment. So it's a good test of the heart to serve and be tested in that first without recognition or title. Then generally, when we look at this passage, again, like the fruit of the Spirit, we're not saying, right, you see that there? All our leaders, 100%, they've got it all sorted. They can do all of this. They're brilliant. They are brilliant. But I can tell you, I don't measure up to everything. I'm growing in it, and that's the important thing. So it's not that everyone's got this nailed. It's all sorted. We're not the finished article. None of us are. You know, we're growing in this, and we're making an effort to grow in this. And this is good for all of us to aim for. It's good for us all to be dignified and not double-tongued and not greedy for dishonest gain. This is just good truth for us all to get into. And as I mentioned, men last week, to much cheering, again, if you're a man and you're married, you've got a wife that you are called to lead and lead well, and a household you're called to lead. This is good stuff to be and to go for in that context. Now, we'll look at how this works with looking to grow in these and be better at these and how that works with grace, and we're going to look at that in a moment. Let me mention gifting, because that's come up a couple of times. We need gifts. We need to have the right gifts for the role. You know, that's important. Going into that in detail is outside the scope of what I want to do today. But actually, we've got to get the balance of gifting and character right. And so let me give you an example. It's a bit of a simplistic example of what I mean by this, but hopefully it gives you the picture. If we were looking to appoint a community group leader and say, we need someone to lead this community group, and we were looking at two different people, when I say we, I mean as elders, we were sort of weighing up, who should we ask to lead that? Who would be best to lead that? And we had one person who, wow, they were brilliant. They were diligent. They led a fantastic meeting. They got real ability to lead meetings, and their content that they brought was superb. They're so gifted. But actually, when they were there, they were perhaps a little bit harsh, not always that tolerant of those who weren't quite as gifted as them. And, you know, people didn't always feel that loved. And then you had a second person that we were looking at. And you thought, well, you know, they're not always the most organized person. And while what they bring is good, it sometimes takes them a bit of time to get round to it, you know, and what they're saying. But boy, when they're in the room, people feel loved. They feel drawn in. That person is kind. Do you know, that's the person I'd want to lead that group. Actually, the person I'd want to lead that group is an amalgamation of the two. Someone who was super gifted and super character and fantastic. But we know that that's not always the case. And so, simplistic illustration, but you know, that's the kind of thing we're talking about there, in that character is so, so important, but at the same time not wanting to say anything against gifting, because, wow, we need gifting, don't we, to do these things. So there's the fruit, the qualified, the servant. This is important, again, for all of us, but particularly for those who are in leadership and feel called to leadership. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is all about the heart. This is all about the heart of someone who wants to serve. Jesus had the heart of a servant. He showed that more than anyone. He had more reason than anyone who's ever existed to boast and say, look at me. Hey, gifted and character. Yeah, I've got them both. And do you know who my dad is? Do you know who I am? Do you really know who I am? But he didn't, did he? Because that very same Jesus who could have done, he was perfect but died a criminal's death. He didn't go kicking and screaming to the cross saying, it's not fair. Don't you know who I am? I'll get my dad on you. But he could have done, couldn't he? But he didn't. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, is what the Bible tells us. He served. He submitted, knowing that that was the right way to go. And we need to serve like that, don't we? Whatever we're doing, whether we're called to leadership, whether we're not, whatever we're doing, we need to serve like that. Not for public recognition, not for a title or anything like that, but just serving. And the question is, am I happy just to serve, even if there's no recognition for any of it? Let me tell you a story about me. I've got two stories about me in this. Neither of them paint me in a great light. They're from the past, though. So that's all right. They're gone. I've learnt my lesson, I hope. Many years ago, I served on the leadership team of another church. And we weren't elders at the time. And then came to the point where we were going to appoint elders. And I was really pleased. Brilliant, we're going to appoint elders. I'm going to be an elder. This is fantastic. There's three of us in the team. And then came the night where the two others turned to tell me, actually, we don't think it's for you. We don't think you're ready. That was hard. Because suddenly, it was gone. I'd really wanted this. I'd really hoped for this. It was important to me. But actually what happened as a result of that was God showed me that what I was interested in was, I'm an elder. It was the name. It was a role. I felt important. I was pursuing it for entirely the wrong reasons. And I think I set out pursuing it for the right reasons. But somewhere along the line, it all became wrapped up in that became my identity. Rather than being just happy to serve. And just serving in that way and saying, hey, it doesn't matter. I just want to do what God wants me to do. and finding my identity in Christ rather than my identity in being called an elder. And being an elder is a good thing. And actually, having gone through that has meant I can do it here. I wouldn't have been able to do it here if I hadn't gone through that, is how I feel now. And I'm grateful that God got hold of me there. You see, what can happen is, if we're not willing to submit ourselves to God and say, God, I'll just do what you want me to do, then God will find a way for us to do that. I'm absolutely convinced of that, because that's what he did with me. And I had to have it, mine was fairly public. Whereas, very public. And that's hard. I learnt about humility. I really did, but I learnt it the hard way. And it's tough. But actually, it was the right thing. And I'm grateful that those guys actually spoke truth to me. I can say that looking back on it, having learned and grown as a result. But it's hard. But, you know, that's how we need to approach it. We need to approach it with humility and say, I just want to serve. I'm not too worried what they call me. So we've looked at the fruit. We've looked at growing in that. We've looked at how we grow and some of the qualifications and some of the importance of going for those. And I encourage you to study those passages, have a look at those passages in detail. And we've looked at the need to serve. But what we need to do is come back to the fact that actually this is all about God. You see, what can happen is, what I don't want, is to put up passages like the fruit of the Spirit, one that's often titled in the Bible, Qualifications for Deacons. And I don't want to put up a list and then for people to go, there's my list. I can focus on that. I need to do this. 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 And with a bit of effort, I'll be a better leader. I'll be a better Christian. I'll be better before God. Because that's not what it's about. And I don't want you to fall into that. Because what happens then is if we fall into that, it becomes me-focused instead of God-focused. Because what we say is we look at the list and go, I need to be this. I need to be this. I need to be this. And the focus is lost. The focus is all wrong. I was challenged once. Oh dear, I get challenged a lot. On something, not a major thing, but this guy challenged me on it. And he was right too. But actually what happened is the thing he challenged on me became my focus. And I was chasing after that and forgetting entirely why I was doing it. And it just became a cold thing. I need to do this. I need to do this. And it was done by rote. And it was the wrong thing. And it was right to challenge on it, but I did it the wrong way. Because what happened was it became a rule-based thing for me rather than a liberating thing. It became me-focused instead of God-focused. The reason I put up Romans 5, chapter 1, is just to get our context right. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We, as Christians, are saved by faith. It's not by anything we've done. There is nothing we can do to be saved. There is nothing we can do to be right with God. God has done it all and given it us as a free gift. That is stunning. But the temptation then is to have been saved by that and then say, to grow, I need to do this and do this and do this. And then again, it becomes a rule-based focus on us and what we need to be doing rather than on God and what he's done for us. So what I don't want us to do is think, now I'm saved by faith, I've now got these list of things I need to be better at. So I need to work hard, and then I can be a leader, and God will love me even more. No, he won't. God loves you as much as you can possibly be loved. There's nothing you can do to change that. God loves you, full stop. That is where we are. But that, and knowing that, should motivate us then into the way we are and the way we act. And what we need is not to be pursuing a list of rules, but pursuing God. You see, what happens is we pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Then we read a passage like that, and the Word and the Spirit work together to convict us. So you might read the fruit of the Spirit and say, I feel convicted, I need to be more kind. Right, to do, be more kind. So tomorrow I'm going to put in my diary, do something kind. It won't last very long. It won't. But what we should do when the Spirit and the Word convict us, what it should do is say, I feel convicted, I need to be more kind. It should then make us pursue God more, and God will change us into being more kind. The lists there are not lists for us to pursue as lists. They're there to push us back to God in His presence, to His word, by His Spirit, to transform us by the renewing of our mind so that we then display those fruits. Do you see the difference? It's subtle, but there's a difference there in the way we should be doing this. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying for the Spirit to be upon us so that we're convicted and we say, yes, God has shown me I fall short in that area. But that doesn't mean I'm now going to write myself a list of to-dos. What it means is I'm going to be on my knees before God, repenting and saying, God, I want to get this right. God, I want to know more of you. God, I want more of your character. I want to know more of you in my life. I need to read the Word more. I want to pray for more of the Spirit. And as we do that, we'll find that actually the thing that we've been convicted on, we begin to change. And it's that way round, not about pursuing rules and lists and regulations. And this is for all of us, not just leaders. But as leaders, we have to set an example. We need to be there, doing it, growing. That's part of what leadership is about. It's setting an example. It's showing people. It's influencing people, as I talked about it last week, the right way. But we need to get our motivation right. And our motivation needs to be, because of what God's done, I will pursue Him. And in doing that, I will change. That's what we need to do. And as I said last week, you know, doing this won't mean you'll lead groups and you'll lead people. And we won't all do that. Some will. Some won't. But actually, as you pursue God more and your character's changing and becoming more like Jesus, you'll find that your witness becomes potent. And as you talk to people and as you mix with people outside of the church, they will say, I can see the difference. I can see there's something about you. I can see it. And we'll be more effective in our witness. And what you'll tend to find is the more and more people's character becomes like that of Jesus, the more people want to follow them anyway. Clock keeps tripping me up. It's wrong. So, let's pull all this together and conclude. And then I've got some questions for us to apply this. What have we looked at? Because we've gone through this fairly quickly. We've looked at the fruit of the Spirit. We've looked at what the Bible talks about, some qualifications or some things for those who have a role that means they've got leadership delegated to them. We've looked at that all of those attributes are good for all of us. We've looked at the importance of being a servant and in just serving in all this, and that it's about that when we're pursuing this and the fact that it's about character, it means we won't be chasing titles and particular roles or recognition, but we'll be looking to serve and serve well and do it in a servant-hearted way. We've looked at the fact that it's not just gifting, that this character stuff is really important if we want to use our gifting well and use it in the right way. And we've also looked at the fact that it's all about God anyway, and actually it's God that we're pursuing, not lists. And I hope that made sense. So, let's ask some questions to help us to apply this. Firstly, are you pursuing the right thing? The right thing being God. Are you pursuing God or are you pursuing things? Even if they're good things, character attributes, good character attributes, are we pursuing the right thing? And for those of you who haven't been here before, please don't need to answer this now. You can take these away to answer. Okay. These are good things to take away and think about. What are you doing to pursue your relationship with God weekly, daily? You know, if someone came up to you and said, what are you going to do tomorrow to mean you're closer to God? What are you going to do? Mostly the answer is read the Bible, pray, get in the presence of God, and ask the Holy Spirit to fill me. There you go, there's the answers. But actually, what are we doing? Are there practical things that we're doing? Are there time that we're taking? Are we being disciplined about it? Are we being deliberate about it? This kind of stuff won't happen by accident. My seeds at home won't just grow by accident. I had to deliberately plant them, deliberately water them, deliberately feed them and weed them. You know, those weeds of repentance that we need to, weeds we need, things we need to repent of. What is your attitude to being a leader? I put that one in there because that's one I asked myself a lot. And I still ask myself regularly. Is it status or is it servant? Jesus set the example of being a servant. Even if you're not, I never have done anything in terms of leadership. What's your attitude to it? And to those who do it? And finally, ask yourself the question, is there anything I've heard today that's going to mean I have to do things differently tomorrow? Is God saying I've got to change? Not am I saying it. Is God saying it to you? Is there anything in particular you've heard today that you're thinking, we should stop saying that? He's getting at me. I'm not. It's often the way the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And it's important for us to respond in that way. Now, I wonder if Steve, could you just pop out and tell Supers and Max Impact that we'll be done in 2 minutes. Thanks. Oh, and Mini Heroes, sorry. Why I only said two. Because we've changed things around today, and we're going to do this as we go forward with the weeks that we have teaching and worship, that it's important to let them know we're almost finished. And then in a moment, when I give you the nod, parents, you can go out and fetch your children. And what we're going to do now, though, is as we do that, we're just going to start worshipping God. And what I want us to do, in fact, let me hand this over because the little clever device that switches between the two things has gone missing. There we go. What we're going to do is we're going to worship God, and hopefully in the light of what we have just heard and some of the things that we've heard and some of the ways that we feel God provoking us and prompting us, we want to respond to God, don't we? We want to respond and say, God, I want to pursue you. I think that's, of anything from all this, that is what I want us to take away from this, is that we need to be people who pursue God. People who are saying, God, I love what you're doing in me, but I want you to do more. I want more. I want more of you, more of your presence. I just want to grow in you. And so I want us to spend now, we've got anything up to 45 minutes now, just to say, God, I want to pursue you. I want to make a deliberate decision to pursue you this afternoon. And say, God, I want to hear from you. I want to know you better. I want to worship you. I want to give you just all the glory. And that's what we're going to do now. So we're going to begin to sing and worship. Those of you who've got kids, go and get them, bring them in, help them to join in, help them to worship. That's a really good thing if we can help our kids to worship God. So let's sing, let's worship God, and feel free to pray out in between songs and bring words. If you feel God is speaking to you, feel free to bring that, and we'll respond to that, and we'll go wherever God wants us to go over this next 45 minutes. We will do whatever God wants us to do over this amount of time. If you feel like you want to be prayed for something, and you think nobody realizes, nobody knows I want to be prayed for, then go and grab someone and say, pray for me. That's fine. That we like that. It's allowed. If you see someone, you think, I just want to pray for them because I think God's doing something. Go and pray for them. You know, this is not about just standing on ceremony. This is about encouraging one another, being there for one another. This is about a body, a living body. So let's worship. Let's worship God and let's pursue Him.